Hello and welcome to a new episode of the Game Informer Show podcast. If it sounds weird, it looks weird, it's because it is weird. We are in LA, ladies and gentlemen, for
E3!
This is a late night for us. It's been a long day of troubleshooting and working with the wonderful people at this apartment complex to get the internet working and everything, but I'm here. I'm Ben Hansen. Hello. Thank you for tuning in. We have JV Gwaltney.
We're in LA.
Yeah, man, we're here. This is it. Brian Shea.
Hello.
And Ben Reed.
Hello.
Oh my gosh, it's so good to be here, everybody. I don't know if you have this weird feeling, but like, I love E3. I'm always excited for E3. Yesterday, like Saturday, I watched the EA Play stuff from home in my bedroom. And then today you have that weird moment of walking around. It's like, oh, I'm actually at E3 now. Like, I'm walking into the Microsoft press conference with developers from Minecraft. It's just like this mindset, and it's so weird. Just be like, I'm in this right now.
Watched Bumblebee on a plane, and now I'm at E3. Is that not?
How was Bumblebee?
Yeah, that's didn't finish it, but
first 20 minutes, awesome though, right?
Yo, yeah, that part's great.
Okay, great. What's with your legs, Ben Reeves?
I'm keeping it warm.
All right, that's quite enough of that. What we're doing here in this wonderful hotel is we're going to be running down our top five favorite things from the first, basically, well, 2 days of press conferences, if you want to count EA Play, whatever the hell that was, and then today's press conferences of Bethesda and Microsoft, and run down our favorite things. And then there's a lot of crap to cover. So, JV, I know you're dozing off before we started.
I'm awake.
Okay, good, I'm good. Because we have so much to get through. There's so many, like, as the kids call it, WTF moments too, that I feel like it's a silly not to talk about. But Shay, what has your E3 been like so far, without spoiling anything?
Very busy.
What type of busy?
Writing a lot of stuff, and seeing a lot of stuff, and watching press conferences.
What have you written so far that you're proud of?
I've only published one thing so far, that is a Gears 5 preview. Played some Gears 5, and I spoke with Rod Ferguson.
Oh, you can talk about that.
I can talk about that.
Okay, well, just a little preamble. What did you think of Gears 5 so far?
I played the escape mode, which is like the new co-op escape the hive mode, and it's a lot of fun. Like, it's kind of like an opposite of horde mode, where horde mode you kind of like dig in and you just defend a point. This, you have to actively push forward and make sure you're like reaching a point by the time like the poison gas behind you catches up to you.
So, did it feel like as big of a reinvention as I think the Coalition was trying to pitch Gears 5 as?
Yeah, I won't know for sure until I play like the campaign and like the new horde mode stuff that they're hinting at. But like, I mean, it's basically like a hero shooter co-op in the escape mode, because like you have an ultimate, you choose one of three characters. There's the potential that they'll be adding new characters as it goes.
You're always moving.
You're always moving.
Kind of the idea.
Is it just left for Gears? Kind of?
Not really. I mean, I guess there's some element of that where it's like, you know, it's a co-op shooter through an environment. But like, you can also create your own levels. Okay. Like there's a tile-based, like where you just move around the tiles and make a like your own hive. You can share that. Weird. But they're also releasing like official ones.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Well, I'm excited. I'll just go ahead and spoil this in case it falls through. You know, don't hold me to this. But in theory, we're gonna have Rod Ferguson on the podcast coming up on Wednesday, so we can learn all about Gears development history, which I'm particularly fond of. Because was it Reeves and JV?
Yeah.
When the Gears 4 cover story?
Trip? Yeah, it was like, my first
a couple
cover
years ago.
Story.
Oh
trip.
Yeah.
We introduced JV to poutine,
and JV blew it completely. So we should point out, like, format wise. This episode and tomorrow's episode are going to be a little bit different. So we're talking about our five favorite things from E3 so far, press conferences. Also tomorrow we're doing the same thing, except for with what's going on tomorrow.
We Square got Enix and Ubi.
And Ubisoft, yeah. And any other lingering things that day. Mm-hmm. And then when it comes to Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, that's when we're kind of diving into the meat of things with more impressions from like actually the show floor and what we're playing there. And so those are going to be starting at 7:30 Pacific every night on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and then we'll have a roundtable of developers, lovely folks coming in here, and that'll be going on at 8:30 on that Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. But tonight is just, as I say on Love Line, the only guest tonight is the love shared between us. So five favorite things. JV, your fifth favorite thing from the press conferences at E3 so far, man.
That weird reveal of Bloober's Blair Witch game, because it's just like the strangest thing of like, nobody asked for this, nobody wanted this, but I would play it.
What, okay, what were your emotions watching that Blair Witch?
I thought it was Alan Wake or Silent Hill or something.
100%. I was at the Microsoft press conference. I was looking for an open seat. I was like, hey, is that seat open, man? Ended up sitting right next to somebody that was on the podcast, I think last year, Tomas from Remedy. And like I sat next to a couple of Remedy folks. And so when that trailer was rolling, I was like, if this is Alan Wake 2, they are not reacting in the least.
You're like looking out of the side of your eye.
Really
like, are they just like...
Yeah, basically. They said no emotions about it. But yeah, my mind was real. I'm like, I think it might be Alan Wake 2. Is this like a new Condemned? And then you see the person in the house staring at the corner, and it's like, is this a Blair Witch ripoff? And, oh no, it's just Blair Witch.
I thought it might have even been like Resident Evil 8 for a while, and I was like, did they resurrect PT? Like, it was like, I thought of everything except Blair Witch.
Of course.
Yeah, which you're like, that looks better than it should for a Blair Witch game, honestly.
It's real weird. It makes me a little bit nervous, because like that team has, they basically have like an okay batting average. Like, I don't like the Layers of Fear games, but
is that who it is?
Yeah, but I really like Observer, so it could go either way.
Wait, that's that same team?
That's that same team.
Wait, Layers of Fear 2, didn't that just come out?
Came out.
And Observer, didn't it just come out?
No, you're thinking of Observation.
Observer's like the sci-fi Blade Runner.
Yeah, it's the Blade Runner, Haunted House Blade Runner.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you think, I'm trying to remember if there's a notification on the screen doing that about whether or not it was actual gameplay.
I have no idea.
Because it looked
It looked a little too good for usually what their games look like.
Man, do you guys have a sweet spot in your heart for Blair Witch, though?
Okay. I do, the first one.
I love that movie. I'm more of a Book Shadows man myself, but...
Really?
No!
Oh, okay.
Is that unbelievable?
Honestly, I wouldn't put it past you.
No, I haven't seen the new one, though.
I didn't either.
I saw the new one.
But, oh, really?
Yeah.
Was it okay?
It was firmly okay.
I feel like Blair Witch... And that reveal was like the perfect kind of way to seep into the hot tub that is E3, right? Where it's like everybody is so uptight and cynical. And maybe it's just, you know, Twitter press and stuff. But everyone's like, oh, there's no reveals left. We know everything at E3. And then that happens. Like, no one whispered about a Blair Witch video game on that Microsoft press conference. That's so absurd.
Yeah.
That's fun.
Yeah, no, I was deeply surprised. And I really want to play it. I don't know if it'll be any good, but I want to play it.
Yeah, absolutely. Brian Shea, number 5, what do you got?
Well, it was Gears 5, but we already talked about that. So, I will say Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order.
Ooh.
Your favorite thing, fifth favorite thing.
Yeah.
What was your emotional track going through that demo?
Well, I was watching it in the back of an Uber, and so the sound was a little spotty. Uh-huh. But I think it looks like a lot of fun. I think that the gameplay track they showed was awfully linear, but maybe we'll have some more details on how that works.
They say it's like Metroid, though. Yeah.
Very inspired by Metroid Prime. We have the full Game Informer cover story if you want to read that. That's online. We had a whole special edition podcast on this feed earlier about that. I was struck by, first of all, how that demo stands out so far for E3, because there's been a lot of trailers versus extended gameplay demos. And like they emphasize so much in that demo, hey, this is uncut gameplay, we're running through this 1,000 times, this is like just a good run through this section of the game, which is going to have some lulls, right? Fewer lulls.
Yeah.
And so like I was watching the live chat during that, and everyone was a lot more pessimistic about that game than I was expecting. It was a lot of meh. The part that made me want to pull my eyes out was when people were saying in the chat, like, boring, this looks like Uncharted, boring, I can't believe they canceled Amy Hennig's game, I wish they would have given us that. It's like, what did you guys want? Like, that just would have been more Uncharted.
Do you want Uncharted or do you not want Uncharted?
What do you want, everybody? Yeah, exactly. And not that we need to defend this game before it's out, we know the quality of this thing. I think the track record speaks for itself for Respawn. Uh-huh. But at the same time, it's like, you guys, EA has pulled off this anomaly in the video game industry of making this single player Star Wars game without microtransactions. Like, if we don't celebrate this to some extent, we're dead. We're dead.
I think it's also to like there are just games that don't look as good as they play, if that makes sense. Like the first time they revealed God of War at E3, I saw it and I thought that was pretty, but also pretty boring.
Mm-hmm.
But like when I played it, and you can really feel, you know, Kratos' heft and like how strong he is and how, you know, awesome the combat sure. is.
100%.
Yeah, like, there's a huge difference.
Where things feel special in retrospect. Yeah. yeah.
At the same time, like, this game looks fun, I think. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. just force powers in general are fun. you yeah. know? Being able to grab a dude and pull him, like, through one of his own blaster bolts.
I, like, wish he would have said cool. something like, no. They should have gone for Uncharted.
The actual Uncharted thing?
Yeah.
I also really like the force push of the droid into one of the stormtroopers. Yeah, that was like funny. That's just like highbrow comedy. That's all I want.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, and then there was the other trailer at the Microsoft press conference, which I was expecting a kind of more climactic gameplay demo at Microsoft, but again, it was a trailer, but kind of cool, right? Seeing like the AT-SD walking through the swamp and all shaggy and stuff, yeah. which looks awesome, and then it's like, oh, of course, that's what you climb, Shadow of the Colossus style. Like, it has a gameplay function. It seems very smart.
Did that end with Forrest Whitaker being like, who are you? Is that how they closed that? Not that it matters, but...
I don't remember. That was an interesting moment.
I think
you
said that's actually him, right?
That is him.
In an actual interview. Yeah. So that's kind of cool.
It's not even him playing a character. It's not Saw Gerrera. It is Forrest Whitaker.
Oh, it's not... yeah, it's not computer-generated. That's actually him.
He's just FMV in the middle of it.
What was your fifth favorite?
My fifth favorite was... I had a lot of fun with Forza last year... And just seeing these Lego cars, I got excited.
100%.
Like, that's what I want. I'm glad they got all the like serious like car nerdy stuff out of the way. Now they can just have fun with it again, if that makes sense. But like with their DLC, they always like do something fun and absurd.
They did the Hot Wheels thing. Yeah.
And so like, I didn't even think about it. I'm like, oh yeah, but this makes perfect sense. Like, what's the other like big like toy you could do with Forza? Yeah, Lego.
It's amazing. And I'm totally with it because they had the tag in the Microsoft press conference before that where it's like, hey, world premiere. And then the Forza Horizon 4 thing came up. I'm like, okay, some expansion. Like, I love Forza Horizon, but at the right. same point, Hot Wheels, I didn't buy it. I liked it from a distance. Mm-hmm. And then when they're driving that stupid car around and they start playing Everything is Awesome, it completely swept my heart away. I'm like, this is so weird. This is what I love the game industry for, is these mashups you never think would happen, but it looks fun to just drive through.
Yeah.
Now, instead of just driving through all those fences in Forza Horizon 4 through the countryside, I can see little studs coming out of those
fences.
And
it makes sense that they'll explode into a million pieces.
Yeah, exactly.
I love, like, the little Lego world. I want to, like, drive around in that and, like, watch everything explode. Like, it looks fun.
Yeah.
And that's what you want out of a Forza game.
Also, mm-hmm. just a reminder that Everything is Awesome song. I know we're all sick of it, like, 3 years ago or something. But, like, just hearing that run through the background of the entire trailer, it's like, oh, that song is really good.
It's a good song. The other thing is, like, we always make fun of them for, like, bringing a car on stage. And they did this time, but it's made out of Legos, which I think redeems that a little bit.
Yeah,
and
100%.
I don't know how it came through in video, but in person it was so awesome because you see just the silhouette, and I'm not much of a car guy, so like the doors are up on this car. Right. I'm like, is this going to be like a DeLorean? What am I looking at? Because it's the silhouette that's so confusing. And then when it's finally revealed, this thing that you've been looking at on the stage for a minute and a half is made of Legos. Yeah. Like, that's the one time I will care about a car being on stage in E3.
You did it.
Yeah.
Good luck next year.
You'd be surprised to know my number five is also the Lego Speed Champions the expansion from Forza Horizon 4. Which, hang on, let me check my notes.
I just copied your list.
Is that right?
Yeah.
That's out now, right? I believe it is.
Is that right?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
It is out now. Yeah, June 13th. I'm super excited to play that. I would love to go back to Forza Horizon 4. JB Gwaltney, number four, dude.
Ghostwire Tokyo.
Also my number four. So
we can just lump that in. Yeah.
That's awesome.
What about it?
I really like that team is getting to make another game that's horror and weird and it's not Evil Within. Because mm-hmm. I bounced off of the first Evil Within hard, mostly because of that terrible camera design.
Yeah.
The second one's really cool. It's still super flawed, but it's kind of neat, but I don't really like that universe. But just all the stuff that was happening, I know we didn't get to see gameplay, but all the weird stuff that was happening in that trailer and the idea of Tokyo mm-hmm. being this haunted place that you're exploring is really neat.
And we're watching that together in the beginning of the trailer. You're like, oh, leftovers. Okay, here we go. But then it goes in some weird directions. And I caught myself being a Kojima fan being like, okay, so this is like Mikami and Bethesda's take on Death Stranding, but it's like, wait, no, those Evil Within trailers were all bat-ass insane as well throughout the entire thing, so it's not exactly
a complete copy. It's more supernaturally, is that
how you... Yeah, it's more paranormal. Like, this said paranormal like three times during that presentation.
Whereas I feel like the last series they did was more like, I don't know if it's gory real gory, is the right word.
It was
like,
real body horror stuff.
Yeah, which is not my favorite version of horror.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, I mean, the secret weapon for that game's reveal and whatnot, too, was, all right, we have our creative director, Ikumi Nakamura, coming on stage.
She's just delightful.
That's the most charming personality I've ever seen on E3 stage.
Presenting this game?
I think, creative director, this is so incredible. Coming out of Tokyo? Yeah, she was just, like, describing how it's like, hey, it's a new kind of action-adventure game. It's spooky. Just everybody fell in love immediately.
Oh, yeah. There are going to be so many fan letters written to her over the next week.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
There already are. Yeah.
I haven't looked her up yet, but it's like, who is this person coming out of nowhere for Bethesda's, you know, press conference here?
And it's really weird to think of Bethesda having a Japanese presence at all.
Right.
Like, you know, you think about them, you think Elder Scrolls, or you might think Doom or like Wolfenstein or something, but they never really get... Maybe it's because The Evil Within doesn't look like a traditionally Japanese game or something.
I don't know.
It's just interesting to me to think about it that way.
Yeah. I mean, it always felt so Resident Evil 4, and that it feels like Resident Evil 4 is kind of an approach to the West a little bit, so that's stuck in that mid area and whatnot. But I'm just amazed that it's not an Evil Within 3. Like, it's so amazing that it's only been 2 years since Evil Within 2, and now they can make a whole new IP?
Yeah.
It sounds awesome.
Yeah, I'm really thankful. It's something new.
Also, just the idea that Ghostwire, is that the name?
Yeah,
Ghostwire Tokyo.
This is the fun thing about E3, is having to learn all this new stuff. But but I love that it's like Ghostwire and then a small print Tokyo. Mm. So it's like, okay, franchise, and now it's going to be Abu Dhabi next. It could be absolutely anything. That's a great call. Brian Shea.
I already said my number four.
That's right, same thing.
Ghostwire Tokyo.
Reeves, number four.
My number four was Deathloop. It's that new Arcane Studios game, which looks super weird. I couldn't quite understand the vibe. It's almost like 70s mod aesthetic, but seems modern day.
Yeah.
But there's like two protagonists. Like, it's more confusing than it is. But like the fact that it's Arcane alone, I think, sold me, because I love that studio and what they've done previously. And like, I mean, it's weird, but it looked cool at the same time.
This,
something about dying
so
and reliving. Yeah.
Yeah, this is actually my number one. I really, because of, like Ben says, Arcane, you know, it's really hard not to trust them.
So this is Arcane Leon, whose last game was Dishonored 2. That was the director for Dishonored 2 and the art director for Dishonored 1 and 2 on stage presenting it, which is awesome.
Yeah. But I really like just this idea, like the concept alone of like two figures destined to fight each other forever, caught in what appears to be like an eternal time loop or something. I really want to see what Arcane does with that.
Yeah.
Because it's a cool concept, but how they gamify that, if there's going to be any studio on the planet that finds a way to gamify that in a cool way, it's Arcane.
So this is what they said about it. They're like, hey, it's going to have a mind-bending story, meticulously designed levels, and you can approach it in any way in classic Arcane fashion. But even during the press conference and their site, I scoured it. I don't understand what it is. I have so many questions. Like, literally, it's like, this is awesome if it is just a 1v1 in this awesome world and you're competing against other characters. So it's Colt versus Juliana, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. But, oh, that'd be interesting.
But there's no hint of multiplayer anywhere. So if it's not multiplayer, how the hell else would it work?
Yeah, I was trying to figure that out too. Do you like switch between them? Do you like pick one and like, that's your playthrough is that person, and then you can do the other side if you want
to. Well, since it's the Dishonored 2 team, I mean, maybe they just are used to building two tracks now.
Well, that's what I was thinking, because you could do that with Dishonored 2.
Right, right. Reed, will you take that stupid blanket up?
It's nice and warm.
No!
For the YouTube pullouts, you're going to look like a jerkwad. Okay, all right, and so you can give your
All right, well, here you go, you asked for it.
All right, great.
So, you want to know something really cool?
Yeah.
My phone deleted my list. We're just going to wing it.
Oh, that's great. Also, the voice actor, it seemed like, for the one of the characters in that game, it's like, oh, that's... I forget his name, but he's everywhere.
Dave Fennoy.
He's the one that's in Walking Dead, right?
Yeah, he's Lee.
He was Lee.
Yeah, he's in StarCraft 2. Yeah, as the...
Mass Effect, a bunch of things.
Yeah, he's
absolutely
everywhere. He's
got such a really good, deep voice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's another great example of an E3 surprise that you would never expect, right? It's just Arcane Leon coming out with something that we're all into it, but we're having a tough time describing it. It's like a 70s aesthetic, hopefully 1v1, but just dueling concept of people in a time loop. The second game of the day about a time loop, because it was one of the Microsoft press conferences.
12 minutes, right? That was pretty cool, at least. Yeah.
That game's been in development for a long time, too.
Apparently.
12 minutes.
Yeah, but now it's an Annapurna joint, and they have a pretty good track record. Like so that's exciting. Very cool. That was your
That was mine, Deathloop, number four.
Great. My number four, since this is more of like a conceptual piece, right, about our favorite things, it was tracking like audience reactions and unexpected audience reactions throughout everything for these press conferences.
That's broad.
Guy at Bethesda,
the woo guy. There's always going to be that jackass.
That was just Ric Flair.
Yeah, what was he doing out there? I thought he was a
skeleton. Do they hire the same guy every year?
That Bethesda audience in general, I was bracing for them to be much meaner, but they were just... They laughed. This is one of the things, right? They laughed when Todd Howard was talking about Fallout 76 and the challenges of Fallout 76 in general, which is like... That's a tough spot to be in, where Todd's like kind of trying to be apologetic and the crowd is literally laughing in his face. Mm-hmm. But he's saying stuff where he's like, hey, it's been an exciting year, and given some of the excitement, I'm impressed you're still here, everybody. Right? And then the audience would laugh. But like, I feel like they walk that line pretty well for saying, hey, we acknowledge all of Fallout 76's faults, but at the same time, we're not going to flat out apologize for it.
All Fallout 76's faults?
No kidding, man. But in terms of like the positive reactions, that was surprising. Like, I haven't been to a E3 press conference since 2011, which is crazy. I've just been watching a lot from LA. And so being at the Microsoft press conference, that was so much fun just to like feel that audience reacting to things.
Right.
And they would applaud for confusing things. I understand everyone's like excited for it to start, but literally the entire theater's full. We're all waiting for this to start. And then they have an announcement over the intercom before it starts. And it's like, hey, everybody. Some of these titles, just a heads up, are going to be rated M for mature. Audience erupted in applause.
What?
Like, what is this?
It was refreshing to like have some quiet space when Gears Pop aired.
It was
like,
just to catch your breath.
Yeah, like I need give my ears a rest.
That was one of them. Where after that finished, no applause, and then it was like the plants in the front started the applause, and a couple of people trickled in a little bit, but that was uncomfortable.
Yeesh.
But then other things that people really applauded for that struck me was when Ori first appeared on screen, like just like Ori gameplay, which I thought the trailer was really great, just focusing on like the boss fights throughout that game.
Ori's fun.
Yeah, for sure, but I didn't expect that audience to be like, F yeah, Ori.
I mean, that's the game that Microsoft's been pushing for like a year and a half now,
it's
like about damn time.
Yeah. Also, huge applause for Game Pass in general, and specifically when they revealed that Metro Exodus is now in Game
Pass. Yeah, I heard that.
Yeah, people lost it for that. It's like, wow, maybe it's just like a game so new.
Yeah.
Is it in Game Pass?
Yeah.
And plus, can't you get Game Pass for like a dollar right now?
Right.
Like Game Pass Ultimate, I think.
I was confused what that meant. Does that mean for the whole month?
For the year.
Or really, for a whole year, just a dollar?
That's what I was hearing.
I don't know. I'm still confused by that. But they have the Ultimate thing. I like that they pushed the PC version of Game Pass, where I know people were writing into this podcast so many times when Game Pass was revealed, because we didn't talk about it. Because I was like, I don't know, Microsoft has a new program. I understand it's big, but I don't know if it's worth making a segment out of.
Yeah.
And now it's gotten to a point where it's like, oh no, this is the future of the industry, and we're stupid for not covering it sooner, because it is just a default, and they hit it over and over and over again in the press conference, and people are flat out pumped for everything that's in the Game Pass now.
It's kind of their Netflix. I mean, it's got a bunch of stuff in there.
Yeah.
That, I mean, you're subscribing and you're getting all these games. Like, it's a cool deal. Like, if I didn't work for Game Informer, I might do that.
I think I still will, just for PC stuff. Like, especially
there's a lot of really great titles.
Is what I needed. Yeah, absolutely. I'm excited for that stuff. The other thing that got a crazy applause was the Elite Controller. The Elite Controller version 2, which 40-hour battery and stuff was really exciting to see, but yeah, people were losing their minds during that in a way I didn't really expect. So it turns out...
First version was awesome, so...
Yeah.
They did a really good job with that, like, video trailer, too, of just, like, panning around the like
is the
controller super close. You're like, oh my gosh, I really want to just like touch that thing,
right?
And I'm excited to touch it.
Weird and bugs started crawling out of it though. Why don't they edit around
like,
that?
I was like,
cool. That's my number four. Jamie, what's your number three?
My number three, it's probably because of just the uniqueness of the reaction. Like, it's pretty big news, but also I kind of reacted to it and you're full of crap. There's no way. Is Cyberpunk's release date. I do not believe at all that that game will be out on April. I think holiday 2020.
April 16th, 2020 is what they announced.
I think it's holiday 2020.
I think you're right.
Yeah, it's just they're up there with Rockstar when it comes to like perfectionist delay stuff. Like, I feel like The Witcher got delayed like twice, right? Or something.
That sounds right.
I think one was a pretty short delay, but absolutely.
Yeah.
Plus, when all they show is that cinematic, which feels like it's just kind of like the end cap on a mission. Did you get the impression that that cinematic was to the quality that all the cinematics are going to be in the game? Or was that a trailer that was a super high quality showing off basically the consequences of one mission?
I think it's that.
You think it's that?
Yeah.
I would hope so, because if it's not, that game isn't coming out until 2025.
Well, I mean, the thing last year looked pretty polished. The demo we saw last year seemed pretty polished.
It didn't look that level, though. Like, the production values in that was absolutely insane. Yeah.
I mean, we'll see, too, because we have, like, more breakouts later this week.
Yeah. And
more, like, half-hour
chunks. We're going to actually see the gameplay in action.
Yeah.
But it's just, like, the first time ever that I've seen a release date and just go, no, Like, the developer is saying, it's like, no. You're crazy. That's not happening. Which is a really weird thing to be in. It's kind of a haughty, you know, arrogant thing to say, but come on.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
You did a spit take, right?
Yes.
Ba-do-wee.
Right on Shay.
Brian Shay, what do you got, man?
Cyberpunk was my number three as well.
Oh.
And the reason for that was, like, I'm super excited for that game, and but, like, they didn't really show any gameplay, really.
Right.
Like, so, like, just my pure excitement for that game and, like, learning more about it kind of gets it up on this list. And also Keanu.
That's it.
Yeah.
I mean, this is...
That reveal was incredible.
This is... I'm so glad that wasn't spoiled. No one knew what was going on. Mm. Being in that theater especially, like, I know this is very specific to just being in that room, but having that dawning realization of who's on the screen. Oh, it's Keanu Reeves. A door opens on the stage and your mind triggers and says... I get to see Keanu Reeves in real life right now.
That's really
which is so exciting as a dork, right?
And he did it really well. Like, he was reading his stuff, obviously, but, like,
he
handled, like, the crowd yelling up at him really well.
Okay,
it was funny because there was one moment where he's like, guys, I gotta finish this.
Like, it was the perfect level of charming and not just completely going off the rails. Like, Brian Shea, you might remember, do you remember when Paul McCartney and Ringo Starr got on stage for Beatles Rock Band's reveal?
For like 20 seconds, yes.
It was just a cluster F. Go back and watch that YouTube clip. Like, celebrities, I think, can get into that mode of, what is this? F it. It's some gaming thing. I'll phone it in.
Like Pele?
Exactly. But Keanu was like on that spectrum, but still charming, right?
Mm-hmm. You're saying Keanu's on the spectrum.
Well, I don't want to comment on that. But right, but he's just like, he's still charming and working his way through the script, but he has that audience just exactly where he wants him emotionally. Oh,
I mean, he's never been more popular than he is now.
It's confusing.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. Is like, and this has to be like perfect timing, because it's not like CD Projekt Red knew that John Wick 3 was coming out right when they were going to announce it.
Toy Story 4.
And Toy Story. Uh-huh. But it's not like they had planned like that. It just kind of worked out because
release dates had been set for a while.
No, but when they approached Keanu, it's not like they knew when John Wick 3 was coming out.
I think you're right, yeah.
They may have planned this reveal, though, around the fact, like, oh, yeah, you know who's really popular right now?
Keanu Reeves, for sure. Well, also, but what that makes me wonder is, like, is he the only, like famous actor that's in this game? Or, like... Are there others, or like, what's his role in the game?
Next year, are more people to come out on stage once the game's delayed and go out there and go, Cyberpunk. He just knows the name of the game. Really, everyone's so excited. I love the special shout out to. I don't like hecklers and people shouting out from the audience in general, but everybody during that section nailed it. Like, everybody in that theater that heckled, if you want to call it heckling, was so sweet. Like, somebody near the front yelling, "You're breathtaking," and then he said, "We're all breathtaking." And then the entire theater just erupted in applause and screams for him saying, "We're all breathtaking," which is like the sweetest thought I've ever heard at E3, other than, of course, it was
the woman
Tokyo
from
game.
Tokyo.
Yeah. The one she procreates with Keanu Reeves. Just needs to happen. And then
3 magic.
Oh my god. But do you think you'll be distracted every time you have a mission with Keanu Reeves as he's telling you to burn the city down in that game?
Yes. Yeah, a little bit. I mean, it'll be cool to have him in there, but...
Yeah. I think it'll be super weird, like, knowing you're playing a CD Projekt Red game that has a celebrity in it. Because that's one of the things I liked about The Witcher was, like, I know so many of those characters, and none of them, like, had, like... they had professional voice actors in mocap, obviously, but they didn't have, like, celebrities.
Right.
You know? It'll be super weird to go into that world, and it's just like, oh... Keanu's right here.
Oh, I don't know if you have that expression exactly, but yeah. What do you think about that trailer for Cyberpunk? We haven't really dove into that too much.
Yeah, it looks good. It did look a little bit like overly polished to the point where I was like, this looks like it was made specifically for like the E3 trailer, and it's like, I don't know if everything in the game is going to look like that.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, I think I was a little disappointed just because I think like the first trailer is one of the best trailers I've ever seen.
Oh, really?
Like just from like how it was staged and like how it was put together.
You're talking about showing the lady?
What?
With the lady?
Like the initial cinematic reveal trailer. Like,
well, there are several. I mean, he's talking about the one in the rain with the lady that's a little bit more...
No.
The one last year.
Yeah, the one last year.
Okay.
Yeah, that one was super cool. And this one just fell a little short of that one. But
that's interesting that you really like it, because I remember a lot of people last year just complaining about that trailer.
I think it's because it wasn't gameplay. I think they wanted gameplay.
And then once they released that, then people could go back and appreciate the trailer a little bit more. But yeah, well, definitely, we have appointments to see more about Cyberpunk this week, so it should be fun to dive into.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm excited to see that game.
Yeah, that was your number three?
That was my number three.
That was his number three. My number three, another, we can call it an oddball, or three oddballs... Battletoads, that is.
Really?
Yeah. I'm hopeful for that game, and I love that it's finally announced and real, and it looks better than I guess I expected. And I have a lot of warm fuzzies of playing those original games with my brother, so like there's all that wrapped up. And like it's Rare, which is kind of cool to see them like coming back.
Wait, it is?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's Rare.
I don't know.
What? I was looking. I didn't see a single studio logo.
Oh, really? Who is it?
I don't know. That's
what's
frustrating.
I don't think it's them.
Well, whoever it is, I'm excited that they're doing it.
I like the art. I understand they can't, you know, it's a tough spot they're in, but I think that kind of just abstract, keyframe art, I think it looks interesting.
And I played it briefly.
Oh, really?
And it feels good. I don't know, JV, you played it too, right? Did you have
JV's
any impressions
of it? JV's making a face.
I understand
that
I did not grow up with Battletoads, so I might not be the audience for it, but... I thought it looked cool, but I didn't enjoy playing it. You know, but to be fair, brawlers aren't, you know, my kind of game.
Yeah.
You know, I don't like how hard it is to actually hit things. Like if you're slightly above your target, you just totally miss. You know, that's always bothered me about 2D brawlers. So
one thing that's cool on that is like you can like stick out your tongue and like grab onto
dudes.
Yeah,
you can grapple.
And like either pull them to you or like suck yourself to them. And
oh, sounds like DMC.
Yeah, it is kind of actually, and it works.
Weird. I love that both with that and then Doom Eternal's multiplayer, they both emphasize three-player gameplay. It's like there's a while where they're in the industry where like five-player multiplayer gameplay was a focus, you know, like 4v1, and now it's like, hey, three players.
That's also a Gears 5 thing.
Is it really?
Yeah, escape mode is three-player gameplay.
That's really weird.
Yeah.
Who can predict this?
Also,
nonsense?
I think the campaign is going to be three-player gameplay.
Wait, really?
I think so.
Did they say the
party is Kate, JD, and Dell.
Wow, they might throw in a Marcus or two.
They might throw in a Marcus or two, but it's three main characters. That's but the so escape funny. Mode for sure is three players.
That's awesome. My number three was Deathloop as well from Arcane Leon. JD, number two.
Outer Worlds release date.
Oh!
Oh wow! Okay.
I'm really excited for that game.
My number two.
When is that?
I'm not even joking.
It's October.
I'm 100% serious.
Okay, that's cool.
Yeah. What did you think of that trailer?
It was fine. I was more thinking like it was definitely one of those things where the trailer itself wasn't as impressive as the news
of
when it was coming out. But I just love the look of that game, the original Fallout, which, you know, these are the people that did that, New Vegas and stuff, is one of my favorite games of all time.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Like,
I've never
Fallout and Fallout 2. Like, I love those games. So.
And you also love Vampire the Masquerade.
I do.
Yeah, you're a
and
Tim
Flaws and all, I love that game.
Ooh, okay.
So that's probably That's probably neck and neck with Wolfenstein for my most anticipated game this year is Outer Worlds.
Yeah, I went on that cover story trip, visited Obsidian for that one. I'm optimistic. I'm a little bit worried about how many times throughout the course of that cover story trip they said, hey, everybody, time and budget. This is 2K's indie level publishing this. Don't forget that part. But then I was amazed to see Microsoft put it at the start of their press conference and like, it's that weird spot, obviously, industry-wise, where Obsidian is now owned by Microsoft. Private Division, which is the indie label from 2K, is still funding and is running Outer Worlds. But part of the rules with Private Division is that the studio keeps ownership of the IP. So it's this weird spot where Private Division is funding this thing, and Microsoft wants to make sure it succeeds, because then... In theory, Outer Worlds 2 is going to be Microsoft.
Yeah.
Bingo.
Oh, man.
Gazillion-dollar project.
They could really, blow it out then. If, like, this is successful, it could be
exactly.
I think it, in my reading, I mean, obviously, you were on that trip.
Yeah.
And, like, I devoured all the content that you guys put out and the cover story. My reading on that was they seem more anxious about, like, oh, well, people are going to expect something with the sprawl of Fallout 3 or 4. And, like, that's not what... The people who want their game, that's not what they want. They want the clever writing that was in like Fallout New Vegas and stuff. They don't want the sprawl. That's not the thing Fallout games need anymore.
Right. But at the same time, it is important to emphasize like it's not written by the same crew that wrote Fallout New Vegas. There are Fallout New Vegas developers working on this. But I would say we have a writer for The Outer Worlds coming up on the podcast on Wednesday night, I do believe. So please look forward to that one.
Also, I really like, because like Outer Worlds, it's like a shorter experience, which I'm totally on board with. Especially in the last like 3 or 4 years, it just feels like we've been bombarded by giant, massive open worlds that take forever to complete.
I just pieced out a Days Gone recently.
Something like, that's shorter and digestible, I'm on board for.
And, I mean, you say shorter and digestible. I mean, there's a part of me where it's like, man, if they said this was 10 hours, I'd be super into it too.
Yeah.
But all they would confirm, because they're like, well, we haven't run through it. We don't know. But they'd be like, 30 hours-ish or under is what you can expect from Outer Worlds. So it's like, yeah, that sounds great, man.
20 years ago, that would have been a long game.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm sure upon release, there's going to be a lot of, you know, people being nitpicky. But I think for the next several years, there's going to be freaks like JV who just, like, champion Outer Worlds.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
You know, it's
a freak game. It just looks like one.
Yeah.
So my number 2 and 1 have both already been discussed, so I'm going to throw some curveballs into here. So my number 2 was Outer Worlds, and number 1 was Deathloop. So I'm going to go number 2, Fallout 76.
Is this how lists work?
I think that they have made some changes that people want, like NPCs, and I think that it is on the path to redemption. It's not there yet, but I think that they made some good strides with that addition.
Did you like what they showed.
Really?
Like the Battle Royale fans of that, everybody likes to bemoan Battle Royale.
I love
modes.
Battle Royales, and I saw that, and I farted sniffed my own fart, and it was better.
When I think of Battle Royales, the last thing I want is a Fallout Battle Royale, just because the gunplay is so garbage in Fallout games. But I think fans of the series will eat that up.
I think it's more interesting as an act of goodwill and, like, and you know, measure to engage the community. But I think it totally depends for me on whether that pans out. Because, like, that stuff could come out and it could be garbage.
It
could be, like, you know, half-hearted. Like, you get 2 quests with these NPCs. Enjoy.
Well, I don't know if we can trust them yet, but I like what I saw. In terms of, like, the promise, it seems promising. But whether or not that delivers, like, that remains to be seen.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to defend Fallout 76 as it is now. But
are you going to go and play this?
Maybe.
This expansion that they're releasing in the fall?
Maybe.
And also, there's a free trial, so starting tomorrow, you can play Fallout 76 and this Battle Royale game, which Nuclear Winter, is that the name of the mode here?
Wastelanders is the NPC expansion.
Yeah.
Has anyone here besides me played Fallout 76?
I played, like, the first few hours.
Okay.
Yeah. But talking points. All right, Reeves.
Yeah, my number 2 was Hansen's fart. It was actually way better than...
Did you like it?
Yeah, it was actually really good.
Did you like it?
I was surprisingly enjoyable. but since that's already been talked about, my other number 2 is when Tim Schafer took the stage because Double Fine got purchased by Microsoft, which I think is really cool.
You think it's cool?
I do, actually, because... A part of me is like, oh, I love Double Fine. they don't make like my favorite games, but I love that they exist and that they're making cool stuff. And so the fact that they no longer have to like stress and worry about whether or not they can keep the doors open is nice, I think. I think the fact that Microsoft can back them a little bit more, and I think that's great.
I was wrestling with that emotionally the entire Microsoft press conference. Where were we at, JV?
My line of thinking of it on it is that it'll buy them some time, I guess.
Oh my God.
But like, I don't trust Microsoft to like fund their games forever, right?
I love it forever.
I think there's a general assumption of like, oh, thank God, this small company now has like a corporate company, like a big corporation backing them.
Yeah.
That means that they have a bigger budget, but that comes with costs, I think, that aren't immediately seen.
Yes, we'll never know exactly what those costs are and stuff, but I hear you. It's easy to be pessimistic about it. My heart was broken because Double Fine, and specifically like Tim Schafer, is actually my favorite person in the game industry. Like, I love his voice out there so
much. Of the developer for Tokyo Gun. Never mind.
Come on. Yeah, Tokyo Gun developer number one, baby. No, but absolutely. And like, anything that could possibly zip up half of Tim Schafer's mouth really stresses me out. Like, I love having Tim Schafer, even if he doesn't always take the invitation. Like, he's on this podcast several times, right? But I love always being able to reach out to Double Fine, having them just be a freaky, weird voice in the industry.
Sure.
But especially tuning into the greatest game documentary of all time, Double Fine Adventure, free on YouTube right now if you want to watch it. Like, and seeing the struggles that that studio has gone through just to stay afloat, there's absolutely a part of me where it's like, well, good for them. They got cash.
Right.
And they'll be safe for a while. And realistically, they probably had to do it. Like, the publisher of Psychonauts 2 was Starbreeze, which is going down in flames, a lot of people are saying, right? And so you don't know if this was the only route they could take to save not only Psychonauts 2, but the entire studio in general.
Yeah, that's where I guess I'm coming from. Because you say, like, I don't know if I trust Microsoft to keep them, like, afloat funding their weirdo projects forever. It's like, maybe, but also, like, I get the impression that they were constantly, like, just, how do we keep bailing this ship out of water?
100%.
Like, what else can we port to Steam to make some money to fund this project we're working on? Like, I'm glad that they don't have to worry about that stress. They can at least focus on, like, making the games.
But see, the thing I'm worried about is that there is no way out. I'm concerned there's not a way out for them if things
go... Bungie figured it out.
That's true, they did.
Yeah, but they had Halo.
Yeah.
But, like, I'm talking, like, Ensemble Studios, you know, like, Halo Wars and everything, like, that whole debacle. Like, that's what I'm worried about happening to Double Fine.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's, you know, they have an easy out, in a way, messaging-wise, with Tim Schafer going on stage and just making jokes about it, where he's like, hey, Elman, I'm a team player, whatever you want, Halo game, an Excel
Excel
game, like,
let's do it.
We'll do it all. And it's like, oh, he's funny. All right, moving on. But it's like, no, there's tears behind that clown's laughter. Like, you know, like, that is, it must be a genuine fear. I'm sure that was a real gut-wrenching decision for that studio overall. Yeah. And they released a video explaining exactly what's going on, like Rad, their upcoming game is still being published by Namco. If you back Psychonauts 2 on Fig for a certain other platform, like, that'll still be released for that. Unclear if it'll be released for everything wide or just if you backed it. But it's weird thinking about that connection through Fig, because Fig is also, or it was also, co-owned by Fergus Urquhart from Obsidian, who made the decision recently to also sell to Microsoft. And so that boosts my confidence a little bit, just knowing that, you know, Fergus, if he got to the other side of the fence and realized it was a hellscape, he probably would have said, hey, Mr. Schafer, don't come over
here,
right?
Don't.
But going on the Outer Worlds cover story trip and visiting Obsidian and spending a couple days there, it really made me feel a lot better about these Microsoft purchases in general, because we were there for Outer Worlds, but there was no Microsoft PR on that trip whatsoever. There was nobody checking what Obsidian was saying. And it was just like a really good opportunity to talk to Fergus about the transition, the difficulties of the transition. It was fun literally getting to the nitty-gritty with him about just all the paperwork, and they had to dig through all the contracts Obsidian's ever signed, right?
Really?
To make sure they're like, what's still lingering? What could complicate this? What do we have to figure out? Hmm. Fergus, you know, he had a couple times he caught himself saying, like, you know, me and the other owners. And he'd be like, wait, nope, I guess me and the other founders. You know, I had to, like, rephrase it. Like, he's still kind of processing through that, but it seemed like Microsoft was surprisingly hands-off. And I I do think that's the best move Microsoft could make. It's just have Double Fine making freaky games and put it in the Game Pass. Right?
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of that is tied into the goodwill of Microsoft, like trying to inspire goodwill and show we're back in the games, guys, for real. We have a bunch of first-party studios. We're going to do some great stuff. We're going to give them creative freedom. My concern is how long does that last?
Right.
Like,
yeah.
Like that's like not to be a nitty-gritty pessimist. Like that's what I'm concerned about, especially when it comes to Double Fine, because their games don't sell that well.
But do they need to on the Game Pass? It's just like, hey, here's a cool artsy portfolio here.
I mean, so do they intend, like, does their survival then? I mean, this is a bunch of hypothetical stuff, but does their survival then depend entirely upon this thing that might not exist 5 years from now?
Game Pass?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know.
I mean, you never know.
Yeah, I mean,
who could really say?
Yeah.
My main concern, I know this is effed up to say, but like, I know Two Player Productions has been filming a lot about the development of Psychonauts 2.
Oh.
If this impedes on the release of any ounce of footage of that Psychonauts 2 documentary, I'm going to riot.
I wonder if they're going to go outside Redmond. What if they're going to see the God of War documentary and like how much people like that? And we need to have our own.
I mean,
well,
Psychonauts 2, baby.
All right, Two Player Productions, re-edit your entire series.
2 hours.
Yeah, we're going for a 2 hour. And could Cory Barlog be in there? We think it's better.
It's really got to get him in there. Maybe a kid.
Also, can Psychonauts 2 be as good as God of War?
Yeah, do you think that's tough? Also, it's fun to think about the full circle of Psychonauts, because Psychonauts was originally a Microsoft project for the original Xbox. They canceled it. It was picked up by Majesco. And now Psychonauts 2, it's like, actually, we need this now. We'll come back around and pick it up. It's just an insane industry.
Well, also along your lines, I hope that Double Fine keeps doing their Amnesia Fortnite thing.
They will.
I think that's fun. Did they say that?
They will. Oh, okay. Yeah.
That's cool. Like, I'm glad to hear that.
Do you want to explain what that is?
So you forgot.
That's they take like 2 weeks. Do they have a set time where they do it every year?
It seems like it's inconsistent. Yeah.
But they'll take 2 weeks and they'll like, everybody drops whatever they're working on and they break up into smaller teams and work on experimental projects. And some of those do end up turning into fuller games, but it's just kind of fun because they document that process of like, here's what it takes to put together a game. So those are fun to like go back and watch.
Yeah.
Kind of really along that like documentary style. And then you can go play those games too.
Yeah, it's fun to hear, because I feel like that's the most open case of like a company doing game jams. Like developers all over do game jams, and I'd love to see more of those, like the prototypes of games that are never like become studios games. Like I'd love to see more of those just out and about in the wild.
Yeah.
And are they making money on Amnesia Fortnite somehow?
No.
Like they're not really selling those games. I don't think they're making a ton of revenue off of those documentaries.
I feel like they sold the first one, right? Like the first like grouping of them.
Yeah,
it was a long time ago.
In terms of making money, like financially, I don't think that's funding
anything.
It's
an investment for the future.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Build up those.
I'm glad that they see that as an investment worth taking.
Yeah, just like Microsoft saw Double Fine as an investment.
That's right.
Which, by the way, call back to last week on the podcast. Somebody pointed out on Twitter, you were saying Double Fine, it's your E3 baby. Turns out it is Double Fine E3. They were the stars of the show.
Yeah.
That was your number two.
That was my number two.
My number two is Keanu.
Yep.
JV, number one.
We already went over it.
The Deathloop.
Oh.
Yeah.
Unchained.
Mine was Deathloop, but I'm going to say Final Fantasy VII release date.
What are you doing, buddy? You're flailing all over the place.
I'm excited for that. I've never played Final Fantasy VII.
What?
Well, this is not the way.
What are you excited for then?
I tried to play Final Fantasy VII.
I would like to play a version of that feels like I can play it in 2019 or 2020.
Dude, that Switch version on Switch, even though JV found a game-breaking bug, which is the only person on planet Earth to find, that Switch version with 3x speed and be able to turn off random encounters, it is amazing how much you can just bust that game wide open and just plow through it, and it's just the best.
But also, if you play this version and you're like, oh, I've experienced Final Fantasy VII now, that's like when JV went to Canada and had poutine. With like crazy like bell peppers and habanero or whatever poutine. It was.
Yeah, he just swallowed a habanero and said he tried poutine.
Look, I'm all for the remake and I'm glad they're making it, but it is a different game at this point.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, but anyways, it's March 30th, 2020. I'm a little bit in that cyberpunk camp for JV, right? Of like, I don't believe it when I see it here. But we're going to be talking a lot more about Final Fantasy VII tomorrow and probably throughout the rest of the week.
Yeah, and it's weird that they would announce it. I know it was like the Final Fantasy VII concert happened tonight.
Yeah.
And that makes sense they would announce it there. But, like, why wouldn't they save that for their big press conference
Hopefully
tomorrow?
They probably just have so much gameplay to
But,
get
like,
through.
Last year, they blew all their stuff on, like, other press conferences. And then they got to their press conference, and it was all, like, trailers we saw at Microsoft.
Probably because right? it wants to be Avengers show.
Right? Yeah, I would like to be Avengers and Final Fantasy VII gameplay.
Yeah.
Like, if that's the case, and they're like, oh, we can afford to tell them the release date of this concert,
right,
then I'm all for it. But, like, it just seemed like that was a big piece of news.
Yeah, it is kind of weird.
And they also revealed a corner of the president of Shinra, I believe. Is that Rufus? I forget exactly what
corner?
The trailer. Well, just like his heels in a little bit. It's coming through the door. All right, what do you got, Reeves?
My number one was Cyberpunk and my brother Keanu.
My number one was Double Fine.
All right.
Yeah. You guys want to go through some big WTF moments from the press conferences here?
Yeah.
Sure.
All right, here we go. What do
you got? You got some stuff?
Yeah. Number one. Hey, speaking of studios purchased by Microsoft, Bleeding Edge is the name of a game.
Yeah.
From Ninja Theory. This is a bizarre case. So they made it very clear, which I thought was really interesting messaging-wise, that this is a game that was in development long before Microsoft purchased Ninja Theory. And it's like looking at that game, which is a 4v4 team-based shooter with a lot of personality, it's like, this is a post-Overwatch game in development, right? Where Ninja Theory is like, we need to do something. We're an indie studio. Let's go for some of that Overwatch vibe. And
post-Overwatch, pre-Battle Royale.
Right. Watching that trailer, they felt like characters from Guitar Hero 3 or something.
They really did. I looked up a couple times, like, while I was at the Xbox showcase this afternoon.
Yeah.
And they would have, like, different trailers playing up on the big screen, like, while you're just waiting in line. And there's, like, a scene where actually one of the characters is, like, wailing on a guitar. And I'm like, this looks like Guitar Hero 3, like, cutscenes.
It's really bizarre. And I know previously on the podcast I had teased that, like, Hellblade wasn't the only thing in development over at Ninja Theory.
Yeah.
This was that game that I saw in that Hellblade trip.
Oh, this definitely was?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because I saw the character with the wheel that I couldn't talk about at the time.
I want to try it, though.
But also at the time, didn't have an art style. It was a little more kiddie from what I remember. So
did you think it was a
more adult over time?
Transformers game? Is that what you thought it was?
No.
I can't remember. We were talking about it for
a while. I was thinking, like, maybe like Skylanders or something. I thought it was like some cutesy kiddie platformer. But I remember, like, the Gizmo Duck style wheel. And now it's like, oh, that's a character in Bleeding Edge, everybody.
Bleeding Edge.
Yeah. Hey, exciting stuff, I guess. Let's see. I loved, this isn't exactly a WTF moment, but I loved the Minecraft Dungeons demo, which we talked about previously on the podcast. Cork had seen it. Throughout the entire conversation, Cork did not mention once that it was from an isometric camera perspective. It's like, Cork, what are you doing, buddy? That seems like a very important detail to convey about Minecraft Dungeons.
I still don't understand how it worked. I walked in late on that one. Like, what's the deal with it?
Like, it seems like it's just Minecraft Diablo. It's a completely separate game from Mojang. And it is Minecraft Diablo, down to the point where I got really geeky when they put the map on the screen, and it is the exact, like, Diablo map overlay thing.
Cool.
It was like, but as Cork said from his trip to Mojang, and he got to see the game and I think play it, that you couldn't, like, tear down the world and build stuff in it.
Oh, weird.
Yeah, so it's just going to be kind of like a dungeon crawler with just heavily inspired by Diablo.
Is it co-op?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it seems really cool.
It's a weird thing if you're not able to build.
I know. Yeah, it's odd.
You know what seems like it should have been like a big WTF moment and felt like it just washed over the crowd was the like Terminator thing.
Yeah, for Gears.
Oh, yes.
Feels like that's a weird combo, like, but I just had no excitement over it. I like Terminator just fine.
I loved it just from like, oh, this is game industry 101. This is some dopey ass crap. But there were rumors that like Terminator was going to be in Mortal Kombat 11. And so when that started, I was like, what? Is Terminator Dark Fate just getting out branding-wise, and they're also going to be in Gears 5? And it's just the opening of Terminator 2, right? Or it's like stepping on the skull, and then he's got the chainsaw. It's like, this is so
stupid. I love
stupid.
The image. Like,
yeah,
the image
is
awesome.
Just absurd. Yeah. And it's like, what, pre-order DLC, I believe?
Yeah. It's just skins or something, I think.
Yeah.
The trailer for Gears 5 in general being a 90s music video was really weird.
I liked it. Am I alone?
I liked it.
I mean, I'm just saying it's weird, dude.
I know, but like so many people were talking ahead of time about just, oh boy, how does Gears 5 get attention? Like, of all the trailers, that one caught my imagination more than I think anything else they could have shown. I'm just like, what? Just like this weird split personality thing where Kate's being torn apart several different ways? Like, I thought it looked weird and interesting. I was on board.
Yeah, felt like it went on too long. I was like,
all
right.
Well, sure. We all fell asleep after it, really. Yeah. But then that Terminator came out.
And I was like, what?
Also, what? Why WTF? Is he the chainsaw? He's a Terminator.
WTF moment for me involving writing the Gears 5 preview that's on GameInformer.com right now. I was looking through the assets they provided, and there is a key art done by Alex Ross, which I used the header image of my preview. If you want to go check that out.
That's cool.
It's really cool looking.
Other what the hell moment. Remember when Bethesda and ZeniMax revived one of their classic franchises that they own? Commander Keen is back, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah. Do we necessarily just have to restrict it to like one thing in that conference? Because the first half of that conference sucked.
I would say it all sucked. I feel like Bethesda.
Hey man, Ghostwire.
Have they been taking a task enough for like the last? I feel like 4 years. Press conferences have just been a slog.
That's the only press conferences they've ever done, right?
I guess you're
right. They started 4 years ago.
Yeah,
right?
They're like, oh, we got enough for a press conference, and then every other year after that, it's like
we got to do one. We got to
need to do this.
They shouldn't.
It felt so bad this year.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, and that's my favorite publisher. Like, I'm usually like really into their stuff, and like even the trailers for the things that I was into, like that Wolfenstein trailer sucked. That really? Doom trailer just showed me more of our of everything I already knew about
like even
Doom
the gameplay,
Eternal.
Like yeah. Still.
It's like, yeah, I know this, yeah.
People are already sold on it, there's no new info.
Doom gameplay looks fine, but you really want to play that game.
Yeah.
Like that's what's fun about Doom. Yeah. Like I don't really need to see any more of that game.
Yeah.
I'm already on board.
And I'm already on board with Commander Keen.
I was gonna go back to that Commander Keen thing. Like when they first announced it, I was like, well, Sunday morning, like I'm all for like Commander Keen coming back. This feels like the wrong way to do it. It's like a weirdo like phone game, like free to play, like
yeah, they were like, hey, we have this classic franchise. Like this is literally how they introduced it. Classic franchise as a free to play mobile game. Like that was a selling point.
It was an odd pitch. The lady was very comfortable on stage. I was very impressed. But I like that it's coming from ZeniMax Online, like the ESO team. I think that's interesting. That team's
interesting.
Starting this, and then they said they had another project in the works as well. But if this is like the standard for their other projects, this is this mobile cutesy thing. Mm. And she even made some reference to like, oh, id's given us their blessing and stuff with this Commander Keen reboot. But even we're squinting at that gameplay because they never went full frame on the gameplay in the
super
video
weird.
Version. It's like, what is this? What is happening on the screen?
Yeah.
Like, is it a puzzle game? Like, I couldn't figure that out either. Like, you're making, like, inventions and then using them in a puzzle? The original was a platformer, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, very odd. But hey, Commander Keen's back.
And speaking of ESO and WTF, that long trailer that they showed for the expansion elsewhere. And then
it was well produced.
It was very well produced, but they were like, hey, we left you on a cliffhanger last time, and then they left us on another cliffhanger.
Right. Very confusing. Speaking of confusing, Lego Star Wars The Skywalker Saga announced at Microsoft's press conference.
I'm in.
Where it's like, hey, we're doing every movie again. But it's, I love Lego. I've been to that studio 2-3 times. But it is mind-boggling then to think of like, wait, they're just doing every Star Wars movie again? Like, we haven't done Rogue One, we haven't done Solo.
Wait, so like they're remaking them? They're not just like porting the original?
No, they're remaking every movie, which for Lego Force Awakens, a game that people refuse to remember exists, they did all of Episode 7 again, and they also did Endor from 6. Like Return of the Jedi. So now they're going to have to redo that again and also redo
Third
all
time's a charm.
Of...
Well, and there was the original trilogy set of games.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. It's like what they did with Lego Indiana Jones 2, where they remade it. Remember? They remade all of Lego Indiana Jones 1 again. It's
That's
just like
so weird.
When there's untapped Star Wars movies, I don't want you guys doing this stuff again.
Well, do you think they would loop Rogue One into this somehow?
I doubt it. They said all like the... 9 films.
They did say 9 films. You're right.
Yeah.
DLC.
They could.
If it,
I mean, it would be weird if they just released Lego Star Wars Rogue One at this point. Like,
right. Yeah, it would be, but like, I mean, that'd be more interesting than we're going to redo all these games we've
That's
already
That's what I'm
done.
Saying. They just put it in as like a bundled thing.
Yeah.
You can't do it as standalone.
Plus, this time, I bet they'll pull dialogue from the movies all throughout them.
How sad are you that Lego City Undercover didn't sell better and that they're not making a sequel to that and they're locked into this loop of licensed
so
games?
I still think it's the funniest game I've ever played.
Ever played? More than like Portal or any of those other games.
Yeah. Huh. I think so, man. I mean, I don't think it's a great game. I think it's a fine too good game, and I think it's the funniest thing.
But I like it because they were like doing their own thing, and it was kind of like a little bit more experimental, even gameplay wise. It was different.
They only use one license, not two.
That's right. They were more inspired by the Lego Rock Band era of Lego games, where they were doing freaky stuff. Oh, so yeah. It was pure license stuff. Yeah.
That was a fun game.
Unleash the freaks.
Hell yeah. Let's see. WTF moment. I thought the worst trailer of E3 so far was the Dying Light 2 trailer.
I'm excited for that game. I did not see the trailer, though, because I was
It's literally just Batman fan fiction.
Well,
it's so weird.
Last year, I thought the gameplay and the concept seemed really awesome. This year, it's like, it's just Troy Baker, right? Like, hey, we got Troy Baker doing a voice, and there's nothing compelling in that entire trailer.
And he's doing his Troy Baker voice. Yeah. Like, he didn't even, like, try to do a different voice.
Yeah. Well, I will get to the bottom of this. I have an appointment with them later this week.
Oh, really? Yeah. Very exciting. I love seeing Age of Empires 2 on the stage.
Oh, yeah.
At a press conference, I was hoping they'd segue that in Age of Empires 4. Didn't happen, but also it's the second remake of Age of Empires 2. Speaking of remaking remakes, where it's, you know.
Exciting.
Sure, that's fine. They have a new campaign there. That's cool. I love the opening of when they're teasing, like, world premiere. Microsoft's got a new game pulling from all this map data around the world. We're going to make something cool. And it's like, oh, is this some weird ARG stuff, AR stuff? What is this going to be? And Microsoft Flight Simulator, which I'm still excited for, but it's just a compelling trailer with good music, I think.
They're like, they're hovering around these planes for a really long time. This must be a flight game. Like,
but I like that they have them taking a map of the world and then like spawning flamingos and animals in different regions and stuff.
That's cool.
Tech-wise, I want to see
is
how
that on Xbox
that
or
thing.
Is it just on PC?
It's both.
Really?
Yeah.
It looks really good.
Yeah.
Like visually, it's just a really good-looking game.
For sure. Phantasy Star Online 2?
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. I think that's awesome. I mean, fans have wanted that for so long, and the idea that Microsoft gets it over Sony, which in my mind seems like it's more of like the MMO console of choice here, right? And so it's bizarre that Microsoft could pull those strings and make that deal happen after all this time.
Is there like
what MMO do they have that Microsoft doesn't aside from Final Fantasy 14?
Final Fantasy 14.
But that's the only one, right?
Well, yeah, but still.
They used to have DC Universe Online, but then that came to Microsoft and I don't even know if it's still around.
Is there like a Stockholm Syndrome situation going on here where like certain people who like played this game, it's like that's all they were able to play, and that's why they love this so
you
much.
Did you play PSO back in the day?
I played the original one on Dreamcast, I liked it. But also, I think, that was like my only outlet for online gaming.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And then I like played other things, and I'm like, oh, there's better games. Because like that game, like it wasn't bad. Like there's things about it I liked, but it was like very rudimentary. And like from my understanding, is like the sequel is still kind of rudimentary, like in certain elements. Right? Is anybody else on board?
You're a real piece of work.
Hey, boo! Fantasy Star!
But it's awesome, right, that Microsoft is at least taking a stab at the Japanese market again, especially with this.
Yeah.
Pulling from Japan, I should say, and bringing it to the West. I think it's incredible.
Maybe I'll play it and it'll be great.
Bring back Sakaguchi. I want Lost Odyssey 2.
He's busy on his Apple project, man, making that weird little
Lost Odyssey 2
RPG thing. That's it for big WTFs. Obviously, it's E3. There's a ton more to talk about, including the entire next generation. Elden Ring. We'll talk about all that stuff in the future, I'm sure. Unless, do you want to talk about Elden Ring right now? JB does not want to talk about it right now. We'll talk about it in the upcoming
show. I don't know anything about it.
Yeah, nobody was excited about the new Xbox console. Nobody got excited about that or Xcloud or anything.
No, show me some concrete details, and then I'll care about it.
Really?
Yeah.
I do like
I'm
that.
I'm surprised Halo wasn't like one of your big moments, Ben.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Missing in action. Like, it was cool looking. Visually.
Okay. I mean, that's totally
like,
fair.
There,
I was just surprised.
There was like no gameplay. It was like hard to get excited, I thought.
They said next year is the big year for Halo. I did like that somebody found a Major Nelson tweet from 2013 and was like, oh, a console reveal without showing the console, huh? I guess that's one way to do it.
Right. Yeah.
Oh, I remember when we did that.
It's
so snarky.
So, they found that for the Xbox reveal that it today.
See, this is why Twitter is just a hellscape and nobody should have it.
That's true. But anyways, if you want to dive into Project Scarlet a little bit here, as two T's, we didn't know that before. Now Scarlet has two T's. They did not mention the two consoles, which they mentioned last year. They said consoles. This year they're just talking about, hey, we understand streaming is an important aspect, but this console, message received gamers, we're building it from the ground up, for gaming to be the priority, right? Which is a nice messaging compared to Xbox One. To like, this console will have frame rates that have never been heard of before. We're talking 120. It's like, I can imagine quite a bit. I could imagine 120. That doesn't seem absolutely insane.
Well, they said like four times more powerful than the Xbox One X, which I'm like,
Xbox One X, yeah.
Four times more powerful. That's more powerful, but also like, it's not like staggering to me. Like, oh, four times. If you said like 100 times, I'd be like, holy crap.
Right, right. They also pushed the SSD, which is interesting, and just load times overall. They're trying to bring it down from talking about teraflops down to the gamer, right, of saying like, I play my RPGs. I want those quick load times. Project Scarlet's going to bring it right home for us. You know, it's like they're trying to ground it, but it's still, I don't feel like it hit for excitement, right? Yeah.
No.
I think there's more... There needs to be more there. I feel like even like the Scorpio tease got a bigger reaction than this one did.
Well, I think people like seeing the box, but even more than that, I think they like seeing games that are on this thing. And I know Halo is technically on it. It just, part of it feels like it's a game that was developed for the Xbox One first.
Maybe.
It has like an extra bit of sheen to it, but...
Yeah.
I feel like we don't know much more about this than we know about the next PlayStation, which we didn't even have to have like a press conference for.
Right, you're probably right. Yeah, I mean, unless we have, I mean, we have a code name for this one, but we don't have for the PlayStation.
It's going to be PlayStation 5.
Well, we'll see. I guess
what's
that's
the code
true.
Name, though?
Yeah.
Go back to the Project X Cloud. Like, I just thought it was interesting that that's debuting in October.
That's right, the preview.
It's free,
for it. Yeah.
Which means is they're like kind of beating Google to the punch a bit.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see like how that competes with Google's thing.
And I played a little bit of xCloud today.
Oh, yeah?
Played Gears 4 and Hellblade. Felt fine. I know that Kato had some hiccups with Forza Horizon 4, and you said you had some hiccups with...
Yeah, I played Resident Evil 7, and I noticed like one moment where it kind of like slipped up a little bit. Mm-hmm. And it was only like a second, but it was like... If this happens, you know, every 10 minutes, you know, it's even just like that often, it'll be annoying.
And I confirmed with the people manning the booth that they did not have the consoles hidden underneath the table. Like, they're actually in San Francisco.
Good job.
Streaming from there.
Good job, Woodward and Bernstein over here.
Did it.
Nailed it. Jay, are you excited for the rest of the week, man?
Yeah.
What are you most excited for?
Probably the sleep. Square Enix conference. Yeah. I feel like that's going to be the secret one.
Just for Avengers
sleeper
stuff.
Hit. Yeah, the like just of like the most stuff that gets the widest spread of people excited.
The tagline for Avengers right now is "Embrace your powers," which I don't know what they're going for with that, but sure.
Yeah. And I feel like people don't remember that it's going to be like the creative director for that game is the creative director that was on Uncharted: The Lost Legacy. We spent a lot of time with on that cover story trip, and I'm excited for his pedigree.
That's the Tomb Raider
Dynamics.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, outside of Avengers, though, what else they can have other than
Quiet Man 2, baby?
Please do it. I mean,
the Quieter Man.
I can't wait to see more.
And I'm sure they'll have other things here and there.
Yeah,
the game they announced last year,
Babylon's Fall. Yeah, I'm hoping they'll dive into a little bit more stuff like that. There's gonna be some odds and ends. Maybe Kingdom Hearts 3 DLC. Hey, come on.
I'm excited tomorrow for Ubisoft as well. I want to see more Ghost Recon.
Really? Ghost Recon specifically?
That game looks pretty cool.
I really want to see how you become the NPC in Watch Dogs.
Oh, you hack their brains.
That's going to be exciting.
Everybody has a neural implant in the future.
Do you hope it's a wheel man situation?
Driver?
Yeah, Driver. Wait, is that what it was called?
Yeah, it's called Driver San Francisco.
It's called Driver San Francisco.
Wheelman is the Vin Diesel piece of crap game that no one ever
I had Wheelman. It was real bad.
What are you doing? All right, everybody.
Oh, I knew it would be code.
We're all very tired.
Yeah, we're getting excited for tomorrow, so let's just go ahead and go to sleep and wake up, because I have a feeling like it'll be tomorrow by then. So tune in tomorrow. We'll have a live stream. We'll be better at communicating exactly what time we're going live, now that we have all the tech kinks worked out and stuff. We'll be going live a little bit earlier, but thank you to everybody watching right now for tuning in and following along. Really appreciate it. We'll be live streaming the press conferences from back home in Minneapolis, so we'll have a fun crew back there for Ubisoft's and Square's press conference. Also, Netflix is coming up and Nintendo's, all that fun stuff. And then out in LA, which is where we are right now, we're going to be live streaming tomorrow night. And then Tuesday night, kicking it off with more impressions of games and also developer discussions around tables. And then also Wednesday and Thursday, and it'll never end. The fun will never stop. So look forward to a lot of fun videos. Also, Leo and Cork are doing E3 Kings,
yeah,
which is the video series this year where it's very silly and very funny. You can subscribe to GameFormer's YouTube channel and see that all there.
Please
for a daily
it.
Recap with a little bit of a twist. That's it for us from LA, man. Please tune in tomorrow night. Thank you so much for watching and listening to this episode of the GameFormer Show. We'll see you tomorrow night, everybody.
Bye.
Hang on, now I'm putting the ending thing up. And goodbye, everybody.